I'm from a small town.
I'm from Alaska.
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
I'm from Cleveland.
I grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan.
I've lived in Indiana for 9 years, but I'm still not a Hoosier.
I have never lived more than 30 minutes away from where I was born.
I am from the most beautiful state in the country, Colorado.
I've lived in Indiana for 15 years.
I go to college at Anderson University.
I'm a proud graduate of Northern Illinois University. Go Huskies.
I am a Purdue Boilermaker.
I went to Taylor University, but my heart bleeds blue for Michigan.
I'm a Northern Arizona lumberjack, but I don't know the fight song.
I'm a community college graduate.
I am a musician.
I am a soccer and baseball mom.
I am a brother.
I'm a mom.
I am an adoptive father.
I'm an aunt.
I'm a father of three.
I am adopted.
I can't wait to be a mother.
Adoptive kids have changed my life.
I'm a proud father and husband.
I think I'm living a reality show. I mean, really.
I really like reality television.
I don't like reality TV.
I like baseball because I'm an introvert.
I am a golfer.
I am a fan of hip-hop.
I am a U2 fan.
I am not a fan of the Beatles.
I'm not a country girl.
I like Pearl Jam.
I'm a Colts fan.
I'm a lovable loser. Go Cubs.
I really like my husband.
I'm a Michigan fan to a fault.
I'm really annoyed with how much he likes Michigan.
I am tone deaf, although I love to sing.
I own more guitars than I probably should.
I play the piano.
I like to run during my midlife crisis.
I own more CDs than most people have songs in their iTunes.
I love Golden Tee Golf.
I love hot wings.
I am a foodie.
I am a closet beatbox artist.
I'm an introvert.
I love being with people.
I'm an occupational therapist.
I worked in the NFL for 10 years.
I am a kindergarten teacher.
I am a cook.
I'm a student.
I'm a pastor, but I really wish I was a race car driver.
I'm a missionary.
I'm a former European basketball player.
I'm a psychologist.
I am ordained, even though I don't like to admit it.
I work in software.
I am a Mac.
I am the baby of my family.
I used to have a mullet.
I am not Bill.
I used to be a fat guy.
I have an 8-pound miniature dachshund named Angus.
I'm seen as a hard ass, really not inside.
I'm a spaz.
I am smarter than you. I am full of myself.
I'm hilarious.
I'm a realist.
I'm a dreamer.
I am an artist.
I like bowling.
I have red hair, in case you couldn't tell.
I have webbed toes.
My favorite holiday is Halloween.
I am bald.
I am Irish.
I'm a Democrat living in a Republican state.
And I am Crosspoint.
I am Crosspoint.
I am Crosspoint.
I am Crosspoint.
We are Crosspoint.
And we are Crosspoint.
All right. Well, hey, great to see you here today on our official last weekend in this space. A lot of memories. Woo! Right there. I mean, that's that video is from 2010, I believe. Eric said it was like one of your first Sundays. And that's really what this place is. We're talking about packing up today and some things that have happened here. And my name's Kurt, by the way. I'm the lead pastor at Crosspoint. If we haven't met, great to meet you here this morning. And we're going to be taking a look at when we leave this room today, I'll be stepping off this platform for the last time until we go across the street. But we're going to be packing everything up. And everything's not a lot. It all fits in a pretty small trailer. And so we're going to be taking a look then today. It's kind of jogged my memory, and it's just kind of helped me, really be asking, what has happened here? What's happened in this space? And so I'm not going to be teaching so much today, as I want to just kind of walk us through some of the significant things that have happened over the last 7 years here in this space. Because, at least once a week, somebody will ask me, I'll be over at the building site or out, in the community having a meeting or something. Somebody will be like, man, you got to be so excited about getting in the building. It's looking awesome. And of course, we love that and we're excited about that. But, there's always a tension inside of me every time that question comes up. You got to be so excited. I bet you can't wait. And of course, I can't wait. I mean, we're super excited to get across the street. We've been dreaming and planning and, investing and funding and the whole deal. And yet at the same time, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a bittersweet nature to this today. I mean, as I walked into this building for the last time, likely I'll be in here for a school event or something, but for the last time as Crosspoint, there was some emotion with that. It's very similar to me, when we move. I mean, we've moved into three different homes, since Julie and I have been married, and every time we walk out for the last time, it's like this flood of all of the things that have happened over the last, number of years. So I'm going to take the next day and a half and tell you about them. And no, not really. So, you know, but what I do want to do is kind of just recap some of the significant things that have happened. I mean, this is what Crosspoint is known. And not just here. We say all the time church is more than a 65, 70 minutes in an auditorium. You know, it's what happens in homes. But this has kind of been the launch point, you know, from everything that happens at a Crosspoint. Which, by the way, I just want to capture this moment. Because I started like a one day, you know, blog. Yep. And so, can we do a selfie? Can we get the lights up for just a moment? Let me do two right here. If we could get... we get house lights up. I just want to try to get as many. There we go. All right. Everybody smile, cheese. Ah. All right. And then one right here. Ah. All right. So cool. So like this, we're making memories because this is the last time in here. And so, and it's been crazy the last week. I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever built a home. I've never built a home. And so I've just decided to build a large building that costs like millions of dollars. And so, you know, it's been crazy, crazy busy trying to do our normal job and that job. And I've kind of gotten behind this week in some of my personal stuff. And so I was just thinking maybe I could write some of my thank you notes with you here today. Is that cool with you if I do some thank you notes? Awesome. Is that cool with you?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, let's do that. Tammy, could I get some thank you note writing music, please?
You've got something, right?
Thank you note. Yeah, I'm going to write some thank you notes. I got some
you know,
people to thank.
Something kind of emotional. Okay. Elevator music. Girl from Ipanema would be awesome.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Man, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar, too.
I mean, it makes me a little happy.
Kind of makes me want to cry.
A little bit. Hey, Tammy, can you see me riding up here with your big heels? All right, here we go. Thank you, HSE Schools, Fall Creek Intermediate School, and Amy Jackson, for securing this intermediate school cafetorium filled with broccoli and sour milk smells. And also for replacing the carpet just 4 weeks ago. Like right before we leave.
4 weeks.
I know, right before we leave. And we smell that every week.
Every
you know?
Week.
And of course, what do we do the first week that they replace?
Spill coffee
we
on it.
We spill coffee all over it, of course. I didn't think we were going to have a home for the last 3 weeks. You know, I got that email. That was not a good email.
We were going to be camping out in your front yard, I think is what was going to happen, but... Yeah, 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
But isn't it great? Isn't it been beautiful? So, you know, it's interesting because that takes me back. You know, the very first move that God made in this building, in this place, was before anybody ever gathered in this room. In fact, I remember walking in here, a few of us walked the building, and, you know, just said, man, this would be a great place for Crosspoint. It was like going into the summer of 2006 before we launched. We just started to kind of develop in Crosspoint. And I met with the assistant principal. Her name was Amy. Not the Amy some of you know. Her name was Amy. And,
Amy Jackson,
It wasn't
right?
Amy like, Jackson. It was a different Amy.
Wasn't her last name Jackson, too?
I don't know if it was. It may have been, but it's a different one than the one I know, the one I saw at King's Island 3 days ago.
Right.
So, you know, so we walk through and we verbally agree that Crosspoint will start using this the next spring. And she's kind of busy, and she's like, can we just sign the contract when school begins in the fall, like 2 months later? I'm like, yeah, that'd be fine, because I didn't know any different then. I said, oh, yeah, verbal commitment's always good, right? So, you know, so we agree on that. She says, call me when school starts. So I, you know, call, and I call, and nobody answers the phone. I call, and nobody answers the phone. And finally, some guy answers the phone, and I think it was Mr. Chef, the principal. He's like, oh, Amy's not here anymore. Oh, well, we kind of had this agreement. He's like, I don't know anything about that. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, he's trying to get the school year started.
That's not what you were thinking.
Well, you're right. I did say that. But I'm thinking the last thing on his mind is worried about getting a church into his cafe on weekends when he's the start of school year.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, hey, I'll contact you when I hire my assistant principal. So, you know, it's like 2 weeks of just anxiety of, you know, man, we've even told people this is where we're going to be meeting, and people are excited. And so, you know, I eventually get an email from a different Amy, named Amy Jackson, and she apologetically is like, we feel like we dropped the ball. Now, she didn't drop the ball. She was new, all right? She said, we dropped the ball. We want to do whatever we can to make this space work for you. You know, it was like this big win, first big win. God moved, God provided before we ever even began meeting here. And of course, cool part of that story is Amy came into Crosspoint, and then she became my kids' principal across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School. And so Amy, thank you for helping pave that way if you're here this morning. Yes. Now, This kind of reminded me of Jesus, of course, you know, because
of course.
Luke chapter 9 talks about where Jesus kind of felt like what we were feeling there. He said, you know, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. I mean, I felt that. You were kind of like, I don't have anywhere to lay my guitar.
No, I wasn't.
Something like that, but we didn't have a home. We're like, we don't have a home. Where are we going to go? And it's interesting because Jesus then goes on in this passage and talks about, you know, people who are, he's calling to him, and they're like, hey, I got some stuff to take care of at home. And you know, it's easy to find a lot of excuses that maybe we can't follow God because things don't work out exactly the way we plan on them to. In fact, I was in a conversation with a guy that I coached with recently, and a basketball coach, and he found out I was a pastor, which I don't usually lead with that, you know, like it's that sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes I don't want to talk about it, I just introduce myself, and if I really don't want to talk to somebody and they find out I'm a pastor, I'm like, yes, and I believe there's a literal hell and people still go there, and that usually ends the conversation right away, you know, they're like, okay, you know, and they exit, but this wasn't one of those. I mean, it was weird as talk, and he found out I was a pastor of Crosspoint. And he had just started going to a multi-site church in the area that meets at a school. And he said, oh, you get it. You get how, you know, you get the whole deal of how you can't really like have real church in a school. I mean, there's nothing spiritually impactful that can happen in that environment. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, well, I mean, you get it, right? I mean, you got to have a nice big building, you know? And he's like, I like that. But now, you know, we're just kind of biding time. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because you see, for us here at Crosspoint, all we've known is this. And for 7 years, I told him, I said, you know, we've transformed the school into a place that doesn't feel like a school anymore. And we just have this belief that God can meet us wherever we are. And it doesn't matter if we're in some big cathedral or in some, you know, expensive building or literally renting a stinky auditorium, a cafetorium. Thank you, Amy Jackson, if you're here this morning, and HSC Schools for this space. All right. Thank you, Mark Walters, my brother, for our first logo. And even though we both really liked it, oddly enough, the more we look at it, it does look like it's more appropriate for a shooting range than for a church.
It's like crosshairs.
It's like crosshairs. I know. I don't know how we didn't see it. I mean, it was cool and cruel logo. It's like you could cut that thing out, put it on your gun for a scope. I mean, it's like, you know.
That would reach a whole different target of people.
Exactly.
See what I did there?
Exactly. Target of people, yeah. So, you know, it's fascinating because... See, this is what happens in our meetings. This is how we get to the places we get. So, PJ, just walk us through. I mean, we started with our very first logo in 2006, as you see right there, and it has taken quite an evolution to where we are now.
Yeah, but that was 2006, and Mark made that for us because he was the only one that knew how Illustrator worked.
To do art.
And so he did that for us. And then
you guys, like, started a company. I mean, you both, like, yeah, cool stuff comes
out. We did.
Out.
And actually, wow. Then, so out of that, then we decided, let's take away the cross, because the cross is overdone.
Because we're artsy. We're in our artsy phase, right?
So we said, let's get artsy. So we put the green lines back there are actually a sound wave form of Kurt teaching.
Yeah, that's really cool, right? That's like a voice behind there. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that till first hour today. I just learned that today.
Yep. And then we thought, that's too messy. Let's clean it up, look a little more professional. So we took the artsy stuff out, and, you know, still had the negative space there down in 2010, and slowly over the next 2 years removed that box, and you see what we've had. And then right there at the bottom, we just finished that this last week and got final approval. So that's what's going on the side of the building.
Yeah, how about that? How cool is that? Awesome. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, here's what's kind of funny. Yeah. To most of us who aren't familiar with art real deeply, you look at those three and you're like, wow, they're pretty similar at the bottom there. I got like a 30-minute tutorial on how different the bottom one is from the one, you know, we were using. And there's a lot of changes. I mean, right.
A bunch of little tiny changes. Takes a microscope to figure it out.
Yeah. Keeping us relevant.
Keeping us relevant.
Awesome.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so thank you, creative team. Creative team knocks out, keeping us relevant, making sure we're not looking like yesterday. All right, so, okay, let's see. Here we go. Thank you, Rob Bell and Andy Stanley and Brian Tome, for letting me steal your great teaching ideas and helping me see that church can actually be a place where we can invite our friends who are as screwed up as I am. because that's
because it's true.
It's true. Yeah, exactly. That's really the platform we've operated on from the very beginning. Is that CrossPoint's a place for anybody. And in fact, one of my neighbors, coined a phrase. We said CrossPoint's for everybody, anybody. It's just not for everybody. Meaning, not everybody's gonna like it, and that's cool. But we want to create a platform for anybody, regardless of your spiritual platform. And one of our first kind of bylines was, it's a church where it's okay not to have it all together. Because after all, you got PJ and I on staff, so it can't be
obviously. I was in a conversation this week with one of the guys from the sound install company. They just they've been doing a job out in Vegas as well, and they use that same phrase that they probably stole
from
us.
They stole from us, I think.
A place where it's okay not to have it all together. And they said, "You two churches, not you two church," which would be
that would
a
be
sweet
a cool church.
You
two.
But the church in Vegas and us, he's like, "You're the only two churches in the hundreds that I have helped with installs that use that." And I can totally see it lived out in the people that we've seen on site with this build and all that. And he's like, "It's awesome. You guys are going places." So it's a big deal.
Well, and we just wanted to create a place. If you're newer around here and wondering why we do these things and why we're doing what we do, we orchestrate for the 80% of people that aren't in church every weekend. We the 20% of you who are, that's great. We want you to connect too. But most things that we do, we're creating a platform where we can invite our friends and our neighbors. And, and I get skittish. When I invite a neighbor, I'm like, "Oh, man, we'd love it if you come. But if you don't, totally cool. If you don't like it, because I know it's not for everybody." And yet,
by the way, there's great coffee, and we're not.
By the way, there's
Kumbaya.
Great coffee, and we're not singing Kumbaya. Yeah, it's we're gonna create a dim place if you get emotional. Everybody's seeing you crying, that kind of stuff. And so, but it's been cool to see. When I look out my backyard now, I look at all of my CrossPoint neighbors and it's cool that what started as a seed for that actually has become that. In fact, I know you know this as well, PJ, because some of your neighbors come to CrossPoint as well, and many of you. And this isn't just about my neighbors or PJ's neighbors, but a place for all of us to invite our neighbors and for Christ to maybe, for Jesus to be working their lives and to see Jesus a little bit differently than they've ever seen him before. In fact, one of the great, great stories that drives me still yet today, in fact, he's on screens today, one of my good friends and backdoor neighbors, Adejua. I've known him since I moved into my house, and he was on about a couple year journey as he came to that point of getting baptized, and it's just been growing ever since. And that every time I look back at his house and see him walk across with his English accent and greet me good morning in British,
Welsh.
Which is really English, Welsh, but I just that's so cool. And if you don't know Adejua, here's a little of his story and what's happened to him here in this place.
Hi, my name is Adejua. I grew up with a lapsed Catholic mother, an atheist father, religious instruction in school, and really no connection with God, Jesus, or religion in any way. Since I met my wife, Linda, I've started connecting with God. That brought me back to the church, or brought me to the church. And I think since CrossPoint, that's really accelerated and answered many questions for me, and really changed my life significantly. Receiving Christ has been a gradual thing for me. Even when I met Linda and we started going to church, I listened to what was being said, I grew, but I was never satisfied. It never really connected with me. And I think when we started coming to CrossPoint, we met Kurt, I started understanding more. A lot of the questions I had, a lot of the things I concerned myself about were being answered without even asking Kurt what it was about. And I think that's what brought me closer and closer. Having my children and my wife and bringing them to CrossPoint and seeing how Christ God has totally changed their lives, has made them good people, made me a better person. I think the hard part for me is that I'm not sure that I still fully deserve it. I wrestle with that on a daily basis. I've started praying a lot over the last few years, something I've never done in my life. And I sometimes wonder if I'm still a bad person. I sometimes wonder if I'm still not deserving this receiving grace and not having to give anything for it in particular other than what's inside me. It's a hard concept for me at times. I still wrestle with it.
Yeah, how about that? Cool story there.
And can we answer his question? Can we answer his question? Adejua, you are not a bad person. And you, just like all the rest of us, are deserving of it.
Of grace, right? Exactly. Well, you know, that's been a cool thing. In fact, it's funny because I write thank you notes when I'm not in public, believe it or not.
Do you use the music then too?
Only sometimes.
Okay.
And so, you know, in fact, every week I write guest thank you notes, just a note to guests, sending them a note saying, hey, thanks for coming. You know, we consider privilege, we really do. If you're here for the first time, you'll probably get a note from me this week, because we consider if you're here and you've taken a little bit of time out of your Sunday to be at Crosspoint, we take that very seriously. And we want to thank you for that. And so one day I was writing thank you notes, and, you know, and I'm finishing it up and putting it in the envelope, and, you know, I'm starting to write the address, 129, number, whatever it was, 131st Street. I'm like, oh, that's like right behind my house. That's like my, like two doors down from my brother and his wife. They live behind us. And I realized, this is my neighbor right here. I'm like writing a note to my neighbor. And I'd only met him like a couple times, but I didn't know their name. Like I visually, you know, could walk up and meet them. But it was a really cool thing because we began seeing them more and more. And honestly, I did not do the invite. I know who did do the invite. Sarah, you did the invite, I believe. And so somebody else invited my neighbor to Crosspoint. But it's cool because we began to see her here. And then Dave started showing up. And before long, they're getting connected around here and serving. And she sent this really cool email to me just this past fall during the fall journey. And here's what she said. Jenny said, all of the rambling aside, I guess I just want to say thank you for what Crosspoint has brought into our lives. We're not the same couple we were a year ago, and I'm happy about that. We're doing things we've never done before and talking deeply about things we've never discussed. I was quite surprised when Dave decided to sign up for a first serve and then downright shocked when I didn't get the look when I brought it up about joining a small group. Now realize, these were two individuals, came from totally different spiritual backgrounds, never really had gotten on the same page, and all of a sudden this is happening.
And she came the first time on game day.
Game day, yeah, game day. I mean, that's an awesome day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you like regular church, you are not going to like game day.
You're not going to like game day, yeah. So she says, our relationship is more selfless than it's ever been, and we're communicating better than we ever have, and we've met so many great people, and we have the community we never thought we'd have. So thank you for all the times you've gone out of your way to make us feel welcome, not judge, and go in the extra mile to help us realize that Crosspoint can be a home for us too. Like, how cool is that? Mm. You know, and so, you know, the dream of creating a place where we can invite our friends and not be embarrassed, you know, that's really what this started with, so. All right. Thank you to bands like Aerosmith, Maroon 5, Muse, and Katy Perry, and Green Day, and Buck Cherry, and Cake, and CeeLo Green, and, you know, Dr. Seuss, Elvis Costello, Foo Fighters, Imagine Dragons, Jack White, Lenny Kravitz, Linkin Park, Loverboy, Mumford & Sons, Neon Trees, One Republic, Paramore, Kenny Loggins, Pearl Jam, Jimi Hendrix, Phil Collins, R.E.M., Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Script, Explosions in the Sky, Steppenwolf, Swedish House Media, Tom Petty, Twisted Sister, Van Halen, and Whitesnake for producing great music for church.
kind of.
Even though they didn't know they were.
No,
right?
No. I mean, that's... I'm not sure we ever should have done some of those. But
we've done some killer covers. I mean, killer covers.
And we've actually done covers by the Killers.
By the Killers, too. Right. So, you know, but all to say, you know, we believe church should be fun. And these bands all write music that's fun, that we know, and yep. is also relevant because it deals with things that are everyday spiritual issues.
And not everybody knows Manifesto or Not to Us like we sang them this morning. And so if you
exactly.
hear something on the radio that you know, and then you hear it here, it's a yeah. big extra connect.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm always like singing Matt Carney in the shower. I'm like...
Okay.
Yeah. So, to create a place that's both fun and relevant where, you know, there's some connect, regardless of our spiritual background, we're going to find something to connect with right. in some way, regardless of what it is.
And that's why we use all the movie clips and videos that we make.
Yeah. Exactly.
This one was one of my favorites from Game Day 2013.
I'm comfortable in jeans that are tough. I'm comfortable in jeans that last.
I'm comfortable with jeans that will last. I mean, I'm also comfortable with man crushes.
I'm comfortable in jeans that are tough.
Man, you already said that.
I'm comfortable in jeans that last.
Are you comfortable in women's jeans?
I'm comfortable in Wrangler. real comfortable. Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans. Built tough with long-lasting heavyweight denim. Built comfortable with relaxed fit. Add to the ball. Satisfaction guaranteed. Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans.
I tell you, we had a terrible...
Oh my gosh, that was so ridiculous trying to tape that
in the snow. We could not get Brett here when I was available, so I had to tape in the snow, and he had to tape.
We used a body double for Brett Favre there. Our very own John Satenga.
That was crazy.
I think you've got a new profession lined up, John.
But you know, here's the thing. So I have this scripture on my desk at home. I see it every single day. Every day I sit down on my desk. And it really drives everything we do around here. And this is the first century church. This comes when, you know, in the book of Acts, when the new Christians who are just coming to Jesus and the church was beginning are beginning to meet and people are beginning to see who Jesus really is. And it says, this is the writer of Acts, says, "So my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles." And the Gentiles are not the Jews. The Jews are the chosen people of God, all right? Jews are the people who grew up following God. The Gentiles are everybody else. So, you know, that maybe have no bearings to God, no connection, nothing was built into them, you know, in terms of what it means to even know or connect with God. And so he says, it's our judgment. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. And so, you know, everything we do around here, we believe in that wholeheartedly. We say, you know, we should make it as easy as possible, remove as many barriers as possible to help people who are exploring, who are not, don't know the Christianese, you know, weren't raised in the church, or maybe had bad church experiences, have a place where they can grow at their own pace, because we really believe that. So, you know, so yeah. So
that's why we do those things.
That's why we do those things. All right. All right. Thank you, iPhone, for giving us better video quality in the iPhone 5 than we had in a handheld HD video camera 6 years ago, because, after all, the most appropriate place for a great video camera is in your pants. I mean, really, it's pockets, but pockets, you know, that's my phone's right here.
Yeah. They'll get it later. That's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn. Yeah, you know, remember that first video we did, very first one?
Oh, yeah. This was shot on that handheld HD video camera.
And my iPhone 5 is better than...
Let me just apologize now for the quality. Take a look.
Take a look. That was a great series. Remember that? A few of you probably remember that. God at the Office, you know, that's when video cameras were better in our pockets.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
That's it? Not Jesus something?
What else do I say after that? I mean, thank you, Jesus. That's it.
Guess how do you follow that?
How do you follow Jesus? I
mean, thanks. We'll see you next week.
You know, really, I mean, that's all we can say, because when it comes down to everything that's happened over the last 7 years in this room, it's not anything I've done or PJ or the band or, you know, other people who serve and volunteer. It's really Jesus. I mean, it's the fact that we have this belief that Jesus shows up every single week in a cafetorium, you know, that smells like broccoli and soured milk up to the last 4 weeks. And then, you know, and actually can do something in our lives, and that people can actually change, that life change can happen around here. And just a quick word on that, by the way, you know, because we believe, you know, there are moments through the service, and we plan very intentionally for those moments, and, you know, we believe every week, you know, as soon as I step down off this platform, which I'll be doing in this room for the last time today, that those next few moments are those moments where we feel like God really moves, because we hold this belief that God meets every single one of us exactly where we are that day. And we trust God to do that. And we don't want to do anything to disrupt that. And so, you know, as we're moving out of this space and going into our new space, you know, a little housekeeping on this, you know, and we can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. But I do want to ask you, you know, in those moments when we're just kind of, I'm transitioning and PJ's beginning to play. And, you know, we just believe God moves in those moments. And we want to ask you to, you know, to do as little in and out as possible. I know sometimes people like, go get their kids. That's a great moment. But I think sometimes what happens is we may miss in that moment what God might want to meet us in right there. And I just ask you to honor that. I realize we have volunteers that, you know, need to leave at a certain point because you're going to serve. You know, if you're going out, I mean, do that. You know, totally good. Do it in discreetly, obviously. But you know, we just really, your kids, listen, your kids love kids' environments. Leave them there, all right? And don't disrupt people. And maybe you're not connecting at the moment right here, but the person right next to you might be. And so let's just honor that, right? So where was I at? Life change. So, you know, this happens all over the place around here. In fact, about a month ago, we had a baptism celebration. And if you weren't here with us that day, I want you to take a look at another one of our young mother's stories and just how God has worked in her life. And here's a short segment of Casey's story.
I started coming to Cross Point. I was invited by a neighbor in October and came to the first week and just kept coming. I didn't come with the intent to find a home church, if you will, or to keep coming week to week, but it very soon became the peak of my week. Back in October, there was a lot going on. I was dealing with a lot of just milestone moments in my life, a very monumental relationship ending. I was in the coursework of my thesis and my comps and working three jobs at the time and a single mom. So it was a lot of life in a very short time, and Cross Point just really resonated with me. I still have a lot of the things that we did in service, a lot of the action items that we kept. I know one week we smashed the ornament and it was just empowering. So week to week, I found myself wanting to come back, wanting to go home and talk about what we've learned with my family and wanting to essentially further my relationship with Christ. Jesus has absolutely meant strength to me. Knowing that he's there has come to mean that walking in faith means you never walk alone. Whether you're walking alongside someone that's in the congregation, for lack of a better word, or you're walking alongside Jesus himself and through his experiences and through the scripture, it's very much meant strength and comfort for me. If I wake up in the middle of the night or I have a moment where I'm just really down, I usually find myself repeating, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I find solace in that, and that usually puts me back to sleep. Getting baptized this weekend is just an opportunity for me to celebrate the past 6 months that I've been walking on this journey and challenging myself and really rising to the occasion in my relationship with Jesus. It's just been something I've never experienced before, and I just finished my master's and I'm kind of getting some of these jobs off my plate. So it's finally at a time where I feel like I can make that a priority in my life, and I want to celebrate that. And I love the idea of an action that I'm always going to remember that's so powerful. I think it will stick with me forever.
How about that? Cool story.
And the quality of the video was way better, too.
And the quality of the video was way better, exactly, because iPhone 5s are good.
We didn't shoot that on an iPhone.
We didn't, yeah. All right, so, you know, this is the kind of thing that's taken place, again, in a cafetorium over 7 years. In fact, 6 years ago, we started this thing called an all-church journey. If you're newer to Cross Point, if you've been here for maybe 5, 6, 7 months, you probably don't know anything about that. Every fall, which will be coming this fall as well, we do this thing called an all-church journey. It's a time when we do a deep dive on a topic, and everybody does it. I mean, everybody from our kids to our students to our adults, and, you know, we're teaching on themes.
Remember the time you took a paintball to the crotch?
I do. That was the kingdom journey. Yeah, yeah. I tweeted out that day that any day you have to wear a cup in church is a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
what key were we just in right there?
Because we're usually taking bold steps during journeys,
yep.
Right? I mean,
yep.
And the whole context that day was, you know, if you're taking a big step for God, then you're going to begin to have, you know, somebody coming after you. So some of my best friends, by the way, were in the front row shooting me with paintballs.
And your brother, yeah.
My brother, yeah.
I think he's the one that
I'm like standing up here, and they're pelting me, and I've got a mask on, and they're flying by. And
just in case there are police officers in the room, it was with slingshots.
It was slingshots, yeah.
We didn't feel like we should bring the Actually, Rick didn't feel like we should bring the guns.
We have a gun in school. So next week we can do it with guns, like real guns. But.
So, just when I'm not on the platform, please.
So anyway, back to the journey. We did this journey. It's a time when every year we do this and people get in small groups and, you know, and we do a deep dive on a topic. And this particular year we were doing the theme consumed. And we were talking about, you know, how what consumes us? Does God consume us or do other things consume us? And we talked about how we're bombarded with all these messages that come at us, advertising, all these things that really create a pull on us and cause us to think we need to buy more, have more, replace this. If I don't have the latest and the greatest and the most expensive, my life isn't as good as yours because apparently on Facebook you have it. We're going to do a series sometimes called I Wish Your Life Was As Exciting As It Looks Like on Facebook.
Something like that.
Something like that.
That's a really long title,
it
but
is.
Something like that.
Yes. So, so we're going through this journey and some big things are happening. I'm going to talk about one of mine in a moment. But so this guy, Mark, and really, we weren't saying you can't have nice stuff. The theme really was along the lines of, you know, do you own your stuff or does your stuff own you? And we're getting to the thing of where in my life is maybe something have a hold on me and keep me from being free. And so we challenge people to, you know, for so many weeks or a week to go without buying anything except food and so on. And there's a guy named Mark here that at the end of the journey, he came to me and told me about this. He said, I'm gonna take a year-long journey of no consumption.
Not going out to eat. Not replacing some like a broken iPhone.
I think he had a laptop that broke midway through the challenge and he didn't replace it. Didn't replace it for like 3 months
until
the journey was over.
Right.
And so he tells me about it. I'm like, whoa, that is intense. I have no idea that kind of stuff was going to come out of this. It's like a year later, 11 months later, I get a letter in the mail. Totally forgot about it. Here's what his letter said. Kurt, I fulfilled my part of my journey. 1 year of no consumption. Holy.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, we kind of, I call this the holy-ish letter. That's what it's titled in my notes. So, but I have not completed it yet. I said I would give it to God. So here it is. I figured I saved this much. It was an incredible amount of money. Just off of no consumption, at least for me. I don't know, maybe it wasn't for him. For me, it was. I would have never done this without Crosspoint. Forever changed. Mark Jones.
That's big stuff.
How cool is that? How cool is that? And so, you know, as I was thinking about today and I thought, you know, what do we do? I mean, how do we end this time? You know, I just started thinking, you know, what's happened here? I mean, in 20 minutes, we're going to start packing up for the last time. And I thought, you know, what's happened? It's like moving out of a house and all of the flood of memories begin going through your mind. When Julie and I began to get the seed of the dream for Crosspoint, you know, we were really excited about what, you know, this is going to mean for our friends and people we wanted to invite, people we'd been trying to invite to church that just wouldn't go, people we cared about, some of our family, people in the community we were meeting, people that had just given up on church, you know, hadn't given up on God but gave up on church, and actually showing people that church could be fun, following God could actually be meaningful. What I wasn't prepared for is what God was going to do in my life. And so what's happened in this place for me? You know, I was thinking about that last night, and I thought, you know, I remember when we first came here, I was worried about our kids. We had two kids at the time, Macy and Matt. And I thought, man, I hope they have friends. I hope that there's a few families that have kids here, you know. And I was like, after the first week, we were like a third of our population was in kids' environments, you know. And they had all kinds of friends, and we thought that was so great. We added two more to our family. So, I mean, Maggie was born, she's seven, same age Crosspoint, because she was born right before Crosspoint opened. And then we liked her so much, we thought we'd add Meredith. And so, you know, that's a big deal. Our life is totally different. And here's the cool part of that. The only way they've come to know God is through you. I mean, through what happens in our home and through seeing God in you is how they've come to see Jesus. Dude, that is a big, big deal to us. The consumed journey. I thought about the consumed journey, and that for Julie and I was a time when we evaluated our consumption and some of the ways we approach money. And by the way, we're going to actually rebrand the consumed journey for this fall. It's going to be our fall journey and a rebranded because it was so impactful in so many people's lives. And if you went through it, the few of you that did, you're going to have a totally different experience because of where you are today. And Julie and I, we realized during that consumed journey, we had $43,000 of revolving debt. And it wasn't all frivolous spending and, you know, being irresponsible. Some of it was like just doing what we needed to do to get Crosspoint started and fund a move and all that stuff. But God was just tugging on our hearts saying, you know, you're bound when you have that kind of debt. And so, you know, it took us about a year to get to the point where we actually pulled the trigger and cut our credit cards up. And I'm not anti-credit card, don't take that. But we felt like that was a step we needed to take. And 3.5 years later after that, totally debt-free, paid every single penny of $43,000 and the freedom that comes. I tell you what I learned through those 3.5 years, I remember driving out of town the very first time after we'd cut up our credit cards and decided to take a vacation. We'd saved and saved, put some money aside, you know, had a little emergency fund, not much, a little. And I remember every 100 miles thinking, oh my word, I'm 100 miles further from home. I've never traveled without a credit card in my pocket. All I've got is my bank account and the, you know, our trips paid for and the little we've put aside in case there's an emergency started hitting me. I'm in Louisville. What happens if I get, you know, a breakdown? I mean, I don't know. I don't have Citibank in my back pocket to pay for it. You know, I get to Nashville. I'm like, I'm 4.5 hours from home, you know, and we keep going south. And I realized something on that trip. I realized with my money, I've never really trusted God. I said I did. I looked like I did. But I always knew Citibank was a backup. And for the first time, I learned what it looked like to trust God with my finances and trust that, hey, if something happens, I've done what I can to prepare and God will take care of the rest. I mean, that was, and to sit here free today, I didn't tell you what, if you're where we were, listen, you can get free. You can get free. It's going to, you know, it can happen now. We have a financial counseling ministry, but this fall, we're going to begin a journey to help us do that. Probably the most significant, as I thought about today, was right here on the screen. My two oldest kids, Macy and Matt, baptized right here in this place. And so when I walk out of here today, it's a bittersweet moment. I mean, I'm so excited, but you know, there are spiritual steps that have been taken in sometimes smelly cafetorium, you know, where students pick on each other and throw food, and on Sundays, God shows up and takes us to entirely different places. And so I'm just kind of overwhelmed today, I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't know how this is all gonna come out, but I think we just gotta pause. In fact, Psalms 71 says, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. It's another one of those big scriptures for us. In fact, when we plan services every week, you know, this is a scripture that you'll see all over some of our data and digital life and all kinds of things because there is power in singing because it's putting words to music. Why? Because we've been redeemed. Because God showed up in, of all places, a school cafeteria. And change lives. And so here's how I want us to close today. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to put words to music in a moment, and PJ's going to help us do that, and the band. But I also want us to thank God. I want us to register a thank you of what God has done in this place in your life, whether you've been here 7 years or you've been here for the first time today, or maybe you're back for the second time, but maybe there was something you saw that God began to develop or showed you something new about who he is, or maybe you've been baptized in this space. Maybe your kids have grown. Maybe your family's been restored. Maybe your family, you know, disrupted and this has been a place of healing. I don't know. I don't know how Jesus has met you. But I think one of the most appropriate things we can do is to take a moment and pause and thank God. Not for God, thank you for the building, but God, thank you for what you've done in my life in this place. So we're going to text that in today. Take out your cell phones. And you can pull out your text app, and you're going to text to the number 25827 and start it with the keyword thanks without the A, so without the vowel, T-H-N-K-S. I know we don't know how to spell around here. So T-H-N-K-S, and then you've got about 135 characters left for you to just record a prayer of thanksgiving to God. God, thank you for you fill in the blank of what you've done in my life through my experience at Crosspoint. And you can do that as we sing. You can do that at any time as we go through the morning. Just make sure you get the number down, 25827. And I just want to pray for us as we're beginning to. This is that moment I talked about a little bit ago. I believe God might want to reveal things to us right now. I believe God may want to say, hey, look, do you remember when you walked in here, you were dealing with this? Look at all of the ways I've come alongside you since then. I don't know. I just believe God wants to maybe show us all that he's done. God, thank you for showing up in a intermediate school cafetorium. Thank you for HSC Schools. Thank you for Amy Jackson, for Mr. Chef, Rick, and Steve, all the people that have made this space possible for us. And God, most of all, thank you for doing what only you can do in this place. God, you change lives. We believe people can change. And that you can change us, and that's happened. And God, we're so thankful. My heart's just overwhelmed today with all that you've done in my life and my friend's life and people I've become friends with. And God, I'm excited for you continuing to do that in people that I don't even know yet. And so God, as we sign off right here in this space, God, I just pray that you would help us to see all that you've done. All right, we're going to sing here, and as we do, you just continue that text. Make sure you register. This is kind of like a log for us just to say, God, thank you for what you've done in this place. I'll see you across the street next week.